Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're your shortcut for getting up to speed on, well, really critical topics without wading through endless information.
That's the goal. Cut through the noise.
Exactly. And today, we're tackling something huge, something that affects so many people and, you know, the Canadian economy itself.
Canada's express entry system, always evolving.
Right. The very latest updates and where it seems to be heading. Our mission, like always, is to take this pile of sources, articles, notes, all that, and just pull out the key stuff for you.
Giving you the core insights, fast.
Okay, let's unpack this then. So for this deep dive, we'll hit the recent express entry results, August 2025 specifically.
Yeah, the draw details.
And then pivot to what's coming down the pike. Some potentially big changes, new categories for 2026 maybe.
And some very specific initiatives too, like support for certain professions.
Right. So by the end, you should have a really solid grasp of the current situation and the direction things are moving. Super important if you're tracking global talent or even thinking about Canada yourself.
Definitely. Context is everything with immigration policy.
So to really get a feel for Canada's immediate priorities, we need to look at what they just did. These recent draws, they're more than just numbers, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. They're like policy snapshots in real time. And August was particularly interesting.
What stood out? What did you see?
Well, the main thing was the precision in their targeting. Two really distinct draws. First up, you had express entry draw number 360.
Okay. When was that?
That was August 8th. And they invited 2,500 candidates.
Mm-hmm.
The key here, specific focus, French language proficiency.
French proficiency. Okay. And the score?
The CRS score needed was 481. And what's fascinating here is thinking, why French? It's not just about bilingualism, you know.
It's strategic.
Totally. It's an economic and demographic lever. By actively seeking Francophones, Canada's tapping into different global talent pools.
Right. Pools that maybe other English-speaking countries can't access as easily.
Exactly. It offers a unique cultural integration path. Gives Canada a bit of a competitive edge, maybe, for certain skilled people from French-speaking regions worldwide. Strengthens communities, too. Broadens the base.
That's a really interesting way to look at it. Language is a strategic tool, not just a cultural thing. But August wasn't just about French speakers, was it? There was another draw. Very different vibe.
Yeah, completely different. That was draw number 361, came just 10 days later, August 18th.
And this one was smaller.
Much smaller. Only 192 invitations went out. And these were for Provincial Nominee Program Candidates, PNP.
Okay, PNP. And the score for this one, I remember it being high.
Way high. The CRS required was 800.
800 compared to 481 for the French draw. That's a massive difference.
It is. And it, you know, really raises that question. What's going on here? Why the huge contrast?
So what is the deal with the PNP scores being so high?
It's all about the nomination. See, PNP candidates, they've already been nominated by a specific Canadian province or territory.
Ah.
And that nomination itself automatically adds 600 points to their CRS score.
600 points. Wow, okay, that explains the 800 score then. It basically guarantees an invitation.
Pretty much, yeah. Once you get that provincial nomination, you're almost certainly getting the federal invite. And provinces nominate people because they need their specific skills.
Right, filling local needs.
Yeah.
Like one province might need nurses, another needs tech workers or tradespeople.
Exactly that. Alberta might be desperate for healthcare folks, while, say, Saskatchewan needs agricultural experts. It's tailored talent acquisition for specific regions. Complements the broader federal streams like the French draw.
So you got this federal push for French speakers, lower CRS threshold, relatively speaking,
mm-hmm.
and then this super targeted provincial system, grabbing people with specific skills for specific places using that massive points boost.
A real balancing act.
It really is. So what should you, listening right now, take away from this? It seems Canada's playing multiple angles at once, right?
Mm-hmm.
Addressing national goals and very specific local labor gaps.
Mm-hmm.
Agile.
That's a good word for it. Agile and multi-pronged.
Okay, so that's the immediate picture. But what about looking ahead? Where is this all going? It feels like understanding the future plans is just as vital.
Crucial, definitely. You need to anticipate where the opportunities might be opening up or shifting.
And sources we looked at did hint at some future stuff, right? Something about 2026.
Yes, exactly. One of the most significant forward-looking pieces is the announcement of new express entry categories for 2026.
New categories?
You do.
Okay, do we know what they are?
Not yet. And that's important. The specifics aren't public in our sources. But the fact they've announced that new categories are coming, that in itself is a pretty big deal.
Right. It signals changes on the way, even without the details.
Precisely. It's not just tweaking the current system. It implies, you know, a proactive shift. If you connect the dots, it suggests Canada's immigration system is actively evolving, preparing for future needs, future challenges.
So new categories likely mean new pathways, maybe different kinds of skills or occupations getting priority, moving beyond just the broad streams we see now.
That seems very likely. It points towards a more tailored approach, maybe even more than we see now with category-based selection.
So even though we don't have the list, the announcement itself is telling. Canada's looking ahead, planning, not just reacting. Okay, purely speculating here, but based on trends and Canada's stated goals. What kinds of categories might we guess at?
Well, it's informed speculation, right? You could easily imagine categories focused on, say, green technology. Huge push globally, Canada wants in.
Makes sense. Green economy jobs.
Or AI and advanced digital skills, always in demand.
Yeah, tech is a constant.
Then there's healthcare, but maybe beyond just doctors and nurses, perhaps focusing on healthcare support roles given the aging population. Think personal support workers, technicians.
That's a good point. The whole ecosystem.
And maybe specialized skilled trades, too. Construction, manufacturing, critical for infrastructure in such a huge country.
Right. So areas tied to big national projects or demographic shifts.
Exactly. It's about, you know, systematically building the workforce for the future, addressing economic development, social needs, tech advancement. It's a vision thing.
Building tomorrow's Canada. I like that. And it's not just these potentially broad new categories, is it? They're also doing very, very specific things, almost micro-level initiatives.
Yes, definitely. And that shows another layer of planning. Our sources mention one clear example, the Early Childhood Educator Bursary.
Okay, a bursary specifically for ECEs. Tell me more.
It's direct financial support, aimed squarely at boosting that specific profession.
And what's revealing about that level of precision?
It tells you a couple of things. One, there's likely a recognized critical shortage in early childhood education. Or two, it reflects a broader social priority, investing in early learning as like foundational infrastructure for society.
Right, supporting families, enabling parents to work.
Exactly. It shows how these super target programs can slot in alongside the big express entry streams. They address niche but absolutely vital needs. It's not just about high-skilled tech workers. It's also about the people who enable the whole system to function smoothly.
That bursary example really makes it concrete. You can picture someone getting that support, easing their transition, and immediately filling a gap in a community.
Yeah, it creates ripples, supports the individual, the families they serve, the local economy.
Okay, so looking ahead, we have these hints of broad new 2026 categories, plus these laser-focused initiatives like the ECE bursary. It paints a picture of a really dynamic, maybe even complex, long-term strategy.
It definitely underscores that you need to understand both the big picture policy shifts and these very specific, sometimes quite small, targeted programs. It's an adaptable system.
Adaptable and maybe visionary, trying to anticipate future needs.
I think that's fair to say.
Okay, let's try and pull this all together then. We've covered quite a bit in this deep dive. What's the main takeaway from looking at Canada's express entry right now?
Well, we started with those August 2025 draws.
Right, the two distinct ones. The big French language draw with the moderate CRS.
2,500 invites, CRS 481.
And the much smaller, super high score PNP draw targeting specific provincial needs.
192 invites, CRS 800, thanks to that 600-point nomination boost.
Then we shift into the future. The big news being the announcement of new express entry categories coming in 2026, even if we don't know the details yet.
Signaling proactive change.
And that very specific example of the early childhood educator bursary showing targeted support for critical professions.
Mm-hmm. Direct intervention.
So synthesizing all that, what's the final picture?
I think the synthesis points strongly towards an incredibly adaptable and strategic immigration system. All these different pieces, the varied draw criteria reflecting immediate needs like French or regional gaps, the massive points boost for provincial nominees, the specific bursaries, the forward-looking announcement of new categories, it all combines to show a really dynamic strategy.
It's not just one thing, is it?
Not at all. It's designed to react quickly to current needs, labor shortages, demographic goals, but also to plan strategically for the future. It's multifaceted. They're trying to attract talent in a very responsive and a very visionary way.
So it's about more than just hitting immigration targets or numbers.
Oh, definitely. It feels much more like strategic nation building, using talent attraction as a key tool.
Okay, well, that wraps up our deep dive for today. We really hope this distillation gives you, our listener, a clearer, more nuanced view of Canada's express entry system, the current state, and the future direction.
Hope it was useful.
And to leave you with something to think about. Considering this mix, we discussed the specific draw criteria like language, the targeted provincial nominations, the support like bursaries, and the hints of future categories. What does this constantly evolving adaptive approach tell us about how countries, maybe not just Canada, are trying to navigate their unique demographic and economic challenges here in the 21st century?
That's a big question.
It is something to mull over. Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.